So last week, I spoke, we looked into Psalm 131, yeah, where it says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, my mind not too lofty, my eyes, I'm not too concerned with things too great or too marvelous for me, but surely I've calmed and I quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother is my soul within me. And then it says, Israel, hope in the Lord now and forever. And we spoke into a culture which is driven by ambition and driven by more. We want more and more and more. We always think that the good life is out there, you know. I know it's out there somewhere. Some with the Alphaville song, Da Ver Ver Weg. You know, we want to live there. Life is there. The good life is there. And it's not here. But today I want to actually just go the opposite way and to say that we also live in a culture that is pacified by entertainment, and we wait for someone to do something. You know, we're a culture that is unhappy, frustrated as a whole, and someone must do something about that. Yeah? If that's not you, then just save this link and send it to your colleague at work or to send it to your neighbor. But I want to talk about growing big, and I love these trees, these California redwood trees, beautiful western cedars, amazing, grow for thousands of years, literally, and they grow up to over 100 meters tall. Can you imagine a 100 meters tall tree? It's quite incredible. And they grow patiently. And the reason why I put them up there is just because of the metaphor that we find in Scripture so many times. Blessed is the man who does not seek wealth, fame, or entertainment in the tent of wickedness, in the circle of the scoffers. But blessed is the person, he who has a good life. The good life are reserved from those who dwell in the Word of God and live with the knowledge of how God wants me to live my life where I am. They will be like trees planted by rivers that shoots up far and wide. In old age, they will bear fruit, Psalm 92 says. Beautiful. In old age, they will bear fruit. So I read the psalm again today. And let me just this morning, I was just reading the creation psalm, Psalm 8 and Psalm 182. And it ends there. It says that so many times in Scripture, it says that the wicked, those who do not fear God, the wicked, the sinners, are like grass that jumps up suddenly and flourishes in the wilderness. It doesn't last that long because when that sun comes up, it scorches. It doesn't have depth. It doesn't have roots. And then the seeds blow somewhere else and they try to live a good life there. And they spring up there and they get scorched and they die. And the seeds blow to another place. They hop from place to place. And eventually Jeremiah says that these guys are like tolbosa and isomer, like chaff that is driven away by the wind. It's rootless. And I love the metaphor here that the psalmist uses. He says, those that recognize that Yahweh, the great God, is the God of all creation and the God who has created us to live in a certain way and to prosper in his presence in a certain way. It says that they are not like grass without root or depth, you know. There's too many, I'm going to do Shakespeare now. But the righteous flourish like a palm tree, and they grow up like a cedar, like these cedars, not in Lebanon, but in California. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. Nahum, Steve, fresh and flourishing. They're righteous in old age. They still bear fruits of God's grace. Old age, they are ever full of sap and green, declaring that the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Fred always used to say, a krok vars tachtig. Growing old, trees planted by rivers. The righteous flourish in this way. I looked at a few memes, and I found a few memes that you might also find entertaining today that speaks about maturity. The first one is actually from my son Nathan, who loves maths. He says, dear math, please grow up and solve your own problems. I'm tired of solving them for you. Then there's this old 42-year-old gamer in the room who wrote this, don't grow up, it's a trap. It's a trap, you know. If you want to stay in your mom's basement and play games, don't grow up. Growing old is mandatory. Growing up is optional. There's a difference between old and mature. There's a difference, and it's in every aspect of our lives. Going through, he says, grow through what you go through. I love that one. Grow through what you go through. Let this opportunity, whatever you face, let it be the seedbed of your growth. Let this be the sustenance of your growth. And then he says, some people are like trees. They take forever to grow up. And I want to say that's okay. That's okay. We're in a culture that want to solve all your problems like this. Lose weight in 10 days. You know, it's amazing. Get wealthy in 10 days. Don't read the book. Just watch this online short review and you'll get all the information. You don't and you won't. Growing up is patient. Patient endurance is rewarding. And then it says here, step up. It's time to grow up. I just love these memes. I had a few titles for the message this morning, and that's why this morning I was so late, because I was trying to like, obviously I sent the title on Friday already, but I just thought I want to just include you in what other ways to say the same message. You know, I said grow big, but I also wanted to say growing big towards a full and a generous life. That's what I mean. It's like growing big. A tree doesn't just live for itself, but it sets its own ecosystem for a full living, you know, symbiosis with many other animals and trees. A tree creates space for life to flourish. It's not just me, and it's true for every human being. Mature people doesn't just mature and happy for themselves, but they create a whole atmosphere, a habitat for others to live in. Also thought about grow there, become courageous. I love the image of this tree. You know, he had all the excuses in life why life shouldn't work out for me. All the excuses. It's so tough. It's here. I don't have a seat. You know, la, la, la. But this tree is beautiful, life-giving, and old. It's lived here for a long time as a witness to declare that the Lord is righteous. There's no unrighteousness in him. I landed here. I didn't grow up in either places. I grew up in a very rocky, very harsh environment. But there's no excuse. The Lord is righteous. See, he made me flourish here. And flourishing for this tree looks different than the cedar, California redwood. It's a different tree, different type, a different face, different place. Now, I love this one. It's Moy. Grow through it. I thought this would be the title. Grow through it. You know, just no excuses. Grow through it. Life is hard. Grow through it. Life is difficult. You feel blocked down. Do you feel this is not really the nice place? Do you feel isolated? The image here, I love what it says. It's just grow through it, where you are. I didn't make this a title because some people are just tired of hearing that we shouldn't do and be resilient. But trees and plants are resilient. Huh? Cultivate resilience. It's beautiful. Thought about this one. I just thought it's funny. Grow up. Huh? Psalm, what does the psalmist say? I will crown your year. The Lord has crowned my year with fatness. This tree was really crowned with fatness. The English old translation, it speaks about oil. But just to grow beyond self-centeredness and self-pity, you know? Grow beyond it. Grow where you planted. The Lord is righteous. Where you are, grow right there, you know? And then I love this one. This is the biggest tree in the world, tallest tree in the world. Grow all the way. Don't stop. Don't become complacent. Don't think I've arrived in my life. I have my 3, 4 kids, 2 kids, and my house and my job. I'm happy. I'm going to park here. I'm going to resign. Life is good. No, there's intentionality to grow all the way, to live to the fullness. Story of the talents. Live what God has, grow in what God has given to you in the pace. You don't have to rush it, but grow in the pace. Grow all the way. I love it. So for that reason, I'm going to go to the one text in the Bible. There are many texts in the Bible that speaks about growing. Yeah? Peter, and many of them has to do with overcoming or enduring or in really witnessing God's goodness in a hostile environment. So most of the texts speak into that. The New Testament, if you're going to read Hebrews, it's going to say, hey, guys, it's time to grow up. Yes, Nero is burning the city and saying it's you. Grow up. Don't be so wussy. It says there at the end, it says, don't neglect the coming together of the saints. Just because Nero wants to kill you, there's no excuse for you not to come to church anymore. Huh? Lekker. I say, lekker. Net omdat Netflix wees, né? Just because it's a beautiful day on the beach doesn't mean it's an excuse for you not to. He say, but this is the reason why you gather in your gatherings. He's saying that you may say spur one another on to love and to good works. Hebrews 10:24. We gather to grow. We gather to not grow ourselves, but to consider, how can I make this person next to me grow? How can I gather for the sake of ensuring life-giving growth? Beautiful, né? Hebrews chapter 6, he says to the guys, listen, you guys, you are like little babies. Grow up. Yes, Nero is burning the city. Some of you aren't present. Come on, stop with your self-pity and fear. Grow up. Life is tough. God is good. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. It's beautiful, né? Nero is not burning any of our cities at the moment. So don't take this too personal. The point is, I was wondering, you know, how many of us would love if there's another fuel hike, another Eskom collapse, another political chaos? How many of us would love to wake up smiling, saying, ah, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Let's continue to live. You know, it's as though we're this melodramatic society, not you, but the newspaper people, whoever buys and writes the newspaper articles. These melodramatic people, you know, life is so difficult and so hard and we collapse every time. How many of you would love to grow up to a point where you are sincerely joyful and confident and content and loving and other-focused? How many? It's a good way to live. It's a nice way to live. So when I speak about growing up, that's it. So Peter says to the church as well, being persecuted by Vespasian in 45 after Christ, he writes to them and he's saying it's great that we have in all these trials being tested. And then he says we've got these great and exceeding promises of God's reward and God's goodness for us. And then he says, so therefore, because of these precious promises, make every effort to grow. Make every effort to add to your faith. Then he says godliness, goodness, patience, kindness, love. And then he mentions this stuff. He speaks about intentionality to grow. But I thought this morning, after preaching for 10 minutes, to speak about Luke chapter 2. Because this is the one text where we see in the life of Jesus the example for us all. So Jesus, his parents went to Jerusalem every single year. Jesus' parents did not miss family day in Jerusalem on Saturday. Not once. Anyway. Now his parents went to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went according to their ritual, according to the custom. This is what we do. And 3 days, they found him. After 3 days, so Jesus got lost in the process because there was a carnival. And it was the family gathered and walked together from Galilee and Nazareth, where he was, all the way to Jerusalem and back. And they discovered that he wasn't gone after a day. And then they started looking for another day. And then they found him after another day. Freaked out, they came to the temple. And they found him sitting among the teachers in the temple. Jesus found his spot. He found his place. He found his people. He says, this is me. This is my job. I'm all about God, my Father's house. I'm all God teaching. I'm all about the scriptures. This is me. This is my zone. This is my space. This is the place where I know I'm supposed to be. This is my people. They join my vocation. This is my little grow group right here. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And you think astonished because he's teaching. They're astonished at, what are you doing here? Your space is back there in Nazareth. Come on. He says, look, why did you treat us this way? Look, your father, not just me, your pa work, your pa and act, your dad, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I'm supposed to be here? You're my parents. You heard the prophecies. You heard what my life is about. I'm an adult now. I'm supposed to be taught as a rabbi now. This is my zone. This is my space. This is my life. This is my calling. This is my purpose right here. I think you should have noticed that you had the prophecies. The angels came to you. The wise guys from the east came to you. You had a dream, Joseph. You know what my life is about. You know my purpose. Why are you surprised that I'm here? And he said, no, come join us. Go back to Nazareth. And then Jesus, this is our lesson. Yet he went down with them and he came to Nazareth and he was submissive to them. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, in favor with man. Jesus in Nazareth, knowing where we're supposed to be, knowing that I'm stuck and frustrated in my calling and my purpose. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I have a promise from God. I have a call from God. I know what God is saying to me. He's saying, and yet Jesus, increased in Nazareth in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. I think this is a mirror to our context, to our society, in so many ways. This is life. Jesus was right in that he knew what his calling was, what his gifting was, what his purpose was. He knew it. He recognized it. Having come to Jerusalem as an adult for the first time, landing in the temple with the other men, because he was 12 years old, it was like ritually could be included with the men's activity, not with the kinderkerk anymore. So he came to the real temple and he goes like, this is my zone. This is my place. This is where I'm supposed to be. And he knew it. He recognized that this is my thing right here. And yet, it wasn't his time. It wasn't his place. And his parents weren't wrong to say, no, not now. Komaistu, come to this nowhere town called Nazareth. A place, one of the commentators wrote about a one camel town. It's a one horse town. It could be less than 300. Nowhere. You know, the best rabbis are not taught in Nazareth. The best synagogues were not in Nazareth. The best examples of godly leadership was not in Nazareth. It's not where he was supposed to be, you know? This is not his zone. Although he knew where he was going to, he was invited to come and to submit right here. And I sense in that the same thing, you know, for many of us. Many of us has this desire, this thing where you want to do this thing, and there's a sense of frustration. Frustration is a mixed bag emotion, eh? Frustration is a mix between a sense of anger that things are not right. You know, what do you sound like when you're frustrated? My kids do it because I do it. So the sense of frustration, the sense of anger. And the anger is that things are not right. What you actually meant to say is, it's not what I want. You know, it's not right according to my desires at this moment. Frustration. And secondly, the sense of powerless. I can't fix it. I can't fix it. I don't know how to fix it, you know. When I'm setting up something, yesterday I had a little DIY project there at home, and there were moments of frustration, because this is not my game. You know, obviously, like all the other men, I say I don't have the right tools. What I actually mean is I don't know how to do this by myself. You know, you feel powerless. You feel as though you don't have what it takes to do this thing. It's a sense of incompetence or immaturity. I can't do this. That's why 3 years old do what 3 years old do. Because they get angry and frustrated they can't have their way, but they can't do it themselves. So that's just the young, immature person inside of me that gets frustrated and it wells up in anger. And then, obviously, we find in the sense of, I want to do this, I think I should do this, I'm supposed to be there, I'm going to go there, but no one, you know, so we're looking for idols competition in marketing or idols, you know, someone just to spot my amazing talent and to bring me out of it, you know. But if we don't find that, we find ourselves discouraged, disillusioned, or distracted by other stuff. We disengage from what God calls us to do. We disengage because I can't have it now, because we believe that I should have this thing now. It's right for me. There's this witness on the inside. Anyway, so this is Jesus there. But then Jesus obviously is a picture for us in terms of a window into the kingdom. If we want to grow big for God's sake, if we want to grow big and flourish, if we want to grow big and go somewhere, then Jesus' picture is beautiful for us. Because the first thing that we read here in Luke chapter 2, this is a very simple verse that you will memorize afterwards and it will be a life lesson for you forever. He's saying that Jesus grew on purpose. The word there, the prokoptu, the Greek word, is not the word for growing like a tree. Although I have an image of a big tree right there. It's the image of intentional development that we find in an athlete, that we find in a musician, that we find in an artist of any form, that we find in a soldier. You know, everyone can pick up a sword and move it. Not everyone can survive a battle. And the difference is the intentional growing, the prokoptu. Jesus intentionally develop. It says, this is only once of two places in the New Testament that this word is used. Because just a few words earlier, in chapter 2, verse 40-41, it says that Jesus grew. But then he uses a different word for growing, because up until the moment where Jesus realized where he was supposed to be in life, who he was and what he's supposed to do, up until that revelation moment that he had at the Passover lamb, probably seeing the lamb, up until that moment, Jesus just grew like any other boy. He just grew up. He ate, he drank, he went to synagogue, he did the dishes, he helped dad in the carpentry shop so that he didn't struggle like Ross when he was older. You know, it's like he did all those things that any other boy would do. But from that moment onward, the Bible here says that Jesus flung himself forward. Jesus drew forward. Jesus pressed on. Jesus intentionally grew in skills, in knowledge, in wisdom, in character. There was an intentionality. The word speaks about a purposeful development, a purposeful formation of the person. He says that he intentionally gunned for something. He stopped being like a little boy that just plays around the whole time. He's going to have his fun, but he's going to grow and go for what he's supposed to do. I know a few people, I'm seeing them in the congregation this morning, that actually lives this way. Patient development. And I love what it says there. It says that Jesus grew. I love it. It doesn't say Jesus waited for his moment. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that because Jesus knew what his Father revealed for him, the Holy Spirit came upon him and poof, it happened in a day. And Jesus was all of a sudden the man that he was supposed to be. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that Jesus was waited until a talent scout came by, headhunted him, and put him in the Messiah business. It doesn't happen. It says here, because Jesus knew where he was supposed to go, Jesus intentionally developed. I know that people have different bags of talents that they come into life with, yeah? Big bags. I know a few big bag people. Big bag people. I'm not a big bag people person. I know a few big bag people, and you can see the grace in their life. Some of us have a few bags of talents, you know, less kilograms of gold to start with. But what I love what the Bible teaches, that Jesus rewards the one who knows what he has and develops that. If you're faithful with a little, you will have more. You will hear him saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You did well. You were faithful with a little. I'll give you more. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. And I love this. This is what Jesus did. And what I love about the fact is that he intentionally advanced with urgency. He grew for 18 years. Because in chapter 3, we see Jesus walking like all the other Jews in Nazareth to the Jordan River to be baptized because his cousin, the prophet, is prophesying. And then when we went on there, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit opened up. Dad saw him when he was 30 years old. So for 18 years, Jesus prokaptu for this moment. Not knowing that this moment was going to happen this moment. He was just ready. People get ready. That was his message. The next one is, I love it that, and it doesn't say here in the text, the previous verse says that, and he followed his parents back to Nazareth. I love it. And he says here, and in Nazareth, Jesus developed intentionally. Jesus threw himself forward at every opportunity that he had. There was no school for the rabbis there, which we could expect. You know, Jesus was going to be the rabbi. Jesus is the Messiah of the world, the righteous ruler. He's going to have conflict and power, fighting with people. He's going to have conflict with all the world rulers and their representatives in the next few years. And Jesus had no political training in Nazareth. In fact, the only political training that you have in Nazareth was a bunch of people that were disassociated, uncomfortable with the political regime. That's why they moved there, just like Jesus' parents. Why did they end up in Nazareth? Well, because he was a political refugee. Herod wanted to chop Jesus' baby Jesus head off, like he did with all these other cousins, because Jesus was going to be the next Messiah. That was the angel, the prophecy came to Herod. So he moved to Egypt for 2 years, and he came back and didn't go to Jerusalem because he knew that Herod was still an unhappy person. Although he died, that's why they landed up there. But the point is, it's in Nazareth. There was no political schools. There's no Ivy League university. There's no Paul Roos Gymnasium or Gray College. There's no private school, El Shaddai. There's nothing like these things. There's like a nowhere community school. And the point is, Jesus grew where he landed to declare that God is righteous and there's no unrighteousness in him. This is where you're placed. I will make all grace available for you right here. You don't have to run around like a crazy chicken to think that you will be left behind. Do you know how many people I meet that have the sentence for the past 10 years? They feel I am behind in my life. Everyone else is ahead of me. I'm not where everyone else is. I'm sure that Jesus felt this way for many years in his life. Because he's in this nowhere freaking town. And I'm supposed to be the savior of the world, or at least the Messiah. What am I supposed to do? And Jesus, God, make all grace available for him. I love it what Nathaniel said when they found him. When Philip called Nathaniel, he says, wow, I found the Messiah, the one that's prophesied about. And he says, yes. He says, yeah, he comes from Nazareth. He's like, does anything good come out of Nazareth, you know? Is daar enige iets goed wat uit Vredenburg uitkom? Come on, man. It's like, savior of the world born in Vredenburg, probably. Yeah, no, it's like, that's the idea. So, the third thing that we see here is that Jesus intentionally grew in Nazareth, but yeah, he says he grew in wisdom with what he had. Know that he wasn't at the most amazing school. He wasn't with the most amazing rabbi. I know that God definitely provided a rabbi on that side, a teacher. But he didn't have all those things. But the Bible says that Jesus intentionally set his heart on developing wisdom, knowledge in context, understanding. And you can see this about Jesus. Whenever he opened his mouth, the scripture came with insight. Doesn't matter where he was. And that didn't come because the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Now he knows the Bible. You know, it's like the Matrix. All of us want to be like the Matrix and plug it in and get the download of the Bible in all the translations. But no one of us have that. The point is that Jesus intentionally studied the scriptures. And not just the scripture. And this is what I like. He knew everything about the Herodians. He knew everything about the Romans. He knew everything about the sects, the Pharisees and Sadducees. He studied intentionally. At every opportunity, you go like, where did you get it? But the point is, he used every opportunity he had to study. Intentional studies, not just look rock versie for die dag vibe. He studied the scripture and he studied the culture of the day. He studied the challenges of the day and he presented them the gospel. This is God who is present to you here now. I've got good news for you. God is present to us. And this is amazing to me. I've hidden your word in my heart. Jesus knew the Psalms. He knew the Psalm of my heart as well. But this context of studying, and I want to challenge you this year. I want to really challenge you. I'm like, if you feel frustrated in any aspect of your life, which is probably true for all of us, I want to know, what will you study intentionally this year towards that? Are you frustrated at your lack of discipline in your budget? Are you frustrated at your intimacy in your marriage or the fact that you don't have someone yet? Are you frustrated at work? Are you frustrated with South African politics? Are you frustrated with local government? Are you frustrated? Whatever your frustration is, I know I'm like a few stupid goeders, né? But the point is, what are you going to do about it? And this is Jesus' invitation. Jesus knew where we're supposed to go, what's supposed to happen, and therefore he intentionally grew in wisdom, IQ, intellectual understanding, knowledge applied, wisdom, knowledge applied. Love it. And then Jesus also grew in stature, like that big baobab tree. It's not fat, but Jesus grew in stature. And I love that Luke intentionally mentions it. He's actually quoting from Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2, the boy Samuel grew in stature and wisdom and in favor with God. It's beautiful. Not wisdom, he doesn't add wisdom there. But he's quoting Samuel. He's saying Jesus is like Samuel. But I want to ask you, so St. Augustine always say, he's saying that you should care for your body, your physical body. You should care for your body as though you're going to live forever. You should care for your soul as though you're going to die tomorrow. Né? 9th century Augustine of Hippo said that. But the other thing that he also said about the body, he says, he was always talking about his body as his donkey, brother donkey. He's saying my body is like a donkey. And he always says, my body is like a donkey. It's very useful to carry things around and to get from A to B. It's definitely not worthy of any worship. I think we should put those up in all our gyms, in our mirrors at home. And next time, when one of those V-shred ad comes up on your social media page, You just write that, quote that one. My body is useful like a donkey, definitely not worship of too, worthy of too much attention or worship. And this is what I want to say with this. That Jesus prepared for ministry, knowing that he's going to be some itinerary pastor, prophet, rabbi, walking from town to town, hundreds of kilometers in a month. Jesus intentionally prepared his body. I want to challenge you. I know that we live in a fitness era. It's not about losing fat. It's not about gaining biceps. It's not about looking beautiful and getting a six-pack. My kid, yesterday Marguerite asked, Dad, hoeveel pack het jy? I think I get a 2-pack. And I'm like, Marguerite, never ask that question again when you're like 10 years old, 8 years old. Anyway, but the point is they're saying it's not about looking good or getting praise, but being like a donkey, being useful to serve me for many years. I want to ask you, is your body being maintained to be useful to serve you for many years? You're going to go like, Ross, this is not a sermon about Jesus. This is a sermon about Jesus. Every spiritual discipline is a bodily activity. Tell us, Willard. Everything you do spiritually, you do with your body. Whether it's ministering to people in love, whether it's praying, whether it's fasting, whether it's worship, everything you're going to do for the rest of your life, you're seeking your purpose, which is very spiritual, you're going to do in this little meat pack. There's no way you're going to do anything outside of this meat pack. Everything in this life, your body is a gift from God. You live inside of this body. This body is you. This body is not separate from you as though this is not important. This is very important. Every single text in the Bible teaches us to maintain and to look and care for this body. Even saying that sex with this little body is extremely spiritual. And you can quote 5 texts from Thessalonians or Romans right here. Corinthians. This is your package. And the body says we should maintain and like an athlete, exercise ourselves, maintain this healthy and keep it under control so that I can pursue every single spiritual thing that God calls me to do. So Jesus grew in Nazareth intentionally in wisdom and in stature. And then it says here, in favor with God and favor with men. Jesus grew in the grace of God and the knowledge of God. Jesus grew intentionally. Jesus knew his Father. This was the most attractive thing to all the Jews. It's the fact that Jesus had an intimate connection to Yahweh, whom he said is my Father, our Father, and it was attractive to everyone else. And probably Jesus grew best because he was not in Jerusalem, but because he was in Nazareth, the nowhere town. He wasn't filled up and puffed up like the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day with knowledge and ideas about God. He got to know God himself, being removed from all the distractions in the cities, in the palaces, in the schools, in the universities, synagogues. Jesus actually grew and that's why Jesus had a habit of disconnecting from the people around him a lot, because he says, I'm going to be still to be with my Father. So early in the morning before the sun rose, or late at night, or he would say to his disciples, listen, there's too much ministry and clutter here. Come, let's get away for a while. And that didn't come the moment the Holy Spirit fell upon him. That was a lifestyle to Jesus. It's something that he had. And if it's something I pray for us, it's something I desire for us as a church, more than knowledge and more than looking after this meat packs that we are so obsessed with in our culture, is actually to cultivate this deep, robust, very practical connection with God our Father through Jesus Christ, more than anything else. To grow in this. We're going to have a few grow groups that actually does this. How do you care for your soul? How do you pray? How do you walk in community with others in God? How do you do this? You know, we've got a few grow groups coming up this week that you can sign up for. I think there are 4 of the 16 or 4 of the 20 that actually just deal with cultivating a deep connection with God in prayer and in community. So it's a deep one. And I want to encourage you for this. I want to pray that at the end of this year, that you'll be able to say to your spouse or your mom or the man in the mirror that this year I want to say to you, I really grew in depth with my relationship with God. Not a fuzzy idea. I actually know him. I know him more than I did. And he knows me. I know him more. It's more, yeah? And then the Bible says that Jesus intentionally in Nazareth grew with with other men. Nazareth, just so that you know, it's one of those places, I hear that a lot. People say that they struggle. I live in a small town with a small church. You know, I can't choose my friends. Jesus did not have the luxury to find a Facebook connection or a social group gathering that he liked. It's just those 300 people in town. Can't run away from the people he didn't like. Had to learn to love them like he loves himself. Can't run away from that difficult person that constantly bullies him. I'm going to learn to love this one, respect myself. I can't run away from this one. There's no running away space. There's no way to run. And Jesus intentionally, that's why Jesus could deeply love the Pharisee and go to the Pharisee's house, deeply love Matthew the tax collector, who was such a banal, perverse person in his culture, and love him deeply, deeply love the prostitute, deeply love, sincerely love the prostitute, sincerely get along with all the political leaders, the Sanhedrin, could have a conversation with anyone, because he was not intimidated by ideas that he had of other people, because Jesus grew intentionally through himself to grow in favor with everyone, respect them. Jesus grew in humility and in meekness. That's what Jesus says. Listen, if you want to get a great life, two things you're going to learn from me, Matthew says. My yoke is easy. Learn to be humble, to assume yourself less than the others, and learn meekness, self-control, to control yourself. It's a good way to love others. And Jesus intentionally did this. And I want to say we've got four grow groups as well that will focus or hone in on growing in emotional intelligence. And it's not a fuzzy thing. It's really, how do you love the other? How do you love yourself? How do you love the other? How do I live with myself? How do I live with the others? How do I seek the good year and seek the good year? It's really very practical. I love this text. This is really simple. In Nazareth, Luke 2:52, Jesus grew, prokoptu. He threw himself forward to grow in wisdom, to grow in stature, to grow in favor with God, to grow in favor with man. It's a very intentional thing. If in any way you can identify with Jesus' frustration of having a desire or a dream of what you really believe God has called you to do, where God is moving you towards, or the person that God wants you to be, but your situation, maybe the 3-4 kids in your house, maybe your economic situation, maybe your vocational work, maybe the place where you live in, you feel stuck, you feel frustrated, you feel disconnected from where you're supposed to go. I want to say, like Jesus, his father did with him, probably the father placed you where you are now so that you can intentionally grow. Intentionally grow in wisdom, in stature, favor with God, and favor with man, so that you can live that life. I wondered, this is a good question. I asked someone a few years ago, I said, wouldn't it be amazing if we had kids when we were younger? Because my mom had us when we were 22, 24, and 20, 26. And we grew up so that by the time we were done with varsity, the first two of us, she was 40, 42, and she was young. She was younger than I am now. And all the kids were out of the house. All of us were out of the house. And she had a lack of lever, you know, in a sense. And then she has a youthful life, but she had a youthful, playful life with us as well. So I just remarked it to someone at a braai one day. I said, wouldn't it have been amazing if we also had kids this young? And the woman's face, she obviously thought about this a lot. She looked at me. She says, no way. The person I was when I was 22 would not have been good to a one-year-old. And I took that. I'm going like, that's very true. This is very true. The person I was 22 would not have been a good spouse. God's grace, in his wisdom, he sets perimeters and boundaries for all of us and fills it with grace. And the invitation that this text teaches us again, that your good life is not locked up in another paki somewhere, but God invites you to grow where you are planted, to fulfill your promises. God has not forgotten you, but the invitation is to intentionally, in Nazareth, grow, drive forward, wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. You don't need anything else. You don't have to be somewhere else. Drop the lie and the accusations that says that you should be somewhere else or with someone else to fulfill your purpose. God placed you where you are. All your decisions was in his grace. If you're wrong, his grace is sufficient to restore you where you are. The invitation is to do that. So with that, knowing that there's someone sitting very close to you, I want you just to read this text with me, which I quoted earlier. Given to the people while Nero was burning the city in Rome, he's writing and saying, let us consider, let us think. The word there, Cartanew, the Cartanew is the statue's name, is the Denker. Put down your head in thought. Put down your head in thought is the image there. Let's put down our heads in thought. Let's consider how we can stir the one next to me to grow in loving character and benevolent works. How can I help this person grow? How can I help this person grow in character and grow in skills and activities? How can I help him or her grow, not neglecting to meet together? Because Jesus is coming soon. That's the invitation for you. Invitation for me. I want you to think this year about growth for you, for God's sake. Not to fill a church activity. I want you to really think, what should I grow in? We're going to give 20 offerings plus Bible school in the week to come. Plus there are one or two other things. There are mentorship groups. There are coaching groups. There are many things. You know, depending on your life, depending on your where you are in life, depending on your personality type, there are options for you to grow. And obviously the church is not the limitation to this, but it's very cheap and it's very practical and it's very good. And you can grow in that. I want to invite you to do not be stagnant, to not remain frustrated, but to intentionally grow, because God has prepared a purpose for you and he will release you for that. So Father, I thank you for this very practical scripture. Thank you for the example of Jesus. God, in my heart, my praise, like I prayed this morning, God, that we as a church, we as your church in Durbanville, God, not just Shofar, God, but we as your church, that we will be like trees that are planted next to river, God, that we'll be like cedars planted in the house of the Lord, bearing fruit in old age, God, that we will be called trees of righteousness, like Isaiah says, God, a planting of the Lord that he may be glorified, God, to declare that the Lord is good, there's no unrighteousness in him. God, thank you for your faithfulness in our life. God, thank you that he who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Dank je dat u iets begint en dat u het voleindig. You are the author and the finisher of our faith, God. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending of us, Lord. Thank you that you are perfecting us. Thank you that what you started in us, you will complete, God. Thank you that the hope of glory, Christ, lives inside of us, God. And like trees growing through phases and growing through seasons, growing through life stages, God, in a changing environment, God, I thank you that your grace is sufficient. Will you help us this year, God, to grow through whatever we go through, God? Will you help us this year, God, to grow big, to not become complacent or stagnant? God, will you help us to grow all the way? In Jesus' name, God, help us to not stop, God, but to grow all the way, that we may be a planting of the Lord, glorifying you by you, everyone, God, and glorifying you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As you sit here, I want to invite you just for 3 minutes or 4 minutes. Don't you want to turn to the person next to you who looks relatively friendly and just say, what are the thoughts that you have listening to the psalm and listening to Luke's writing of Jesus? What are your thoughts at the moment? What is stirred inside of you? Just take a moment and just move with that. If you're really shy and an introvert, just close your eyes. No one will bother you then. Amen.